Good morning, FLX Morning Tuesday at 8:38. It's time to get healthy with Finger Lakes Health. And look who's back, Laura Turbide. Good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
Now, I know one of the biggest things company-wide these days is just hiring, that there's, everybody is scrambling to hire good people, and Finger Lakes Health is no exception.
It is. Hiring, lots of great opportunities. Also, we always just talk about this, but sort of growing our own. We have such an incredible resource of so many talented people in our region. So with our own LPN program, which is just a 9-month program, believe it or not, 9 to 10 months, you can end up sitting for your licensing exam to be an LPN. We know how needy they are, as well as our 2-year RN program. So it's really a great opportunity. The other thing is we regularly pay people on an ongoing basis for CNA training and things. But everything from whether you want to be trained to be a phlebotomist, when you want to work in a sort of backroom functions in terms of IAS. I want to give a shout out to our IAS team because they were up late last night doing some work on our systems. It's a great place to work, and it is really a family. So
I always love it when our guests make connections with each other. You were out in the hall talking to Chris Lavin right before he came on about something you might do together in the future. And I thought that's pretty cool. I love when that happens.
Yes, it's a lot of percolation in this community.
All right, so let's talk about athletic training, both for our local schools and for the weekend warrior athlete who wants to not pull something when he goes out on the floor or the field.
Thank you. We are thrilled. We're so happy. We have Andrew Meister here, and Andrew is our athletic trainer who works specifically with Minders Academy. We were talking. He's been, I'm surprised about this, 3 years, or his third academic calendar year with us. We were talking before we came on. Let's talk a little bit about sports and spring, sort of spring season is coming, and we're obviously getting ready, and people are getting out for all those spring season sports in the school setting. But we also know that those weekend warriors, and truly, whether that's getting out for runs or some of these great 5Ks for lots of good causes they're out and about, or if it's honestly even just, getting your yard in shape, you're getting in shape while you're getting your yard in shape. So we thought we'll tap into some expertise here and get some tips.
Well, let's start with that. Proper warm up and cool down. That's probably the one that gets ignored the most. But, I certainly know at age 63 not to go out and start being active without some proper kind of warm up. So what does the average guy raking the leaves or deciding he wants to start jogging or whatever need to do it safely?
Right. So, thanks for having me on. Thinking about, this past Saturday, it was beautiful out. Like myself, I went out to Seneca Lake State Park and went for a little rollerblading action, and it only fell down one time, so that's a win. But I like to use the analogy, like we all drive, so when we're getting into our car, the first thing we're doing isn't smashing down the gas, right? It's a kind of a gradual increase. Even if our car doesn't fail that first time we step on the gas, if we do that again and again, maybe the third time, something's going to hurt, right? So really just trying to gradually work into it. If you are a runner and you haven't really been doing that much since we've been inside in the wintertime, cutting down your mileage a little bit. If you're doing yard work, instead of saying, okay, I'm going to do the whole yard today, maybe pick a little section it off, cut into more manageable pieces. That'll help you in the long run.
And let's talk about cool down, because, again, I think that's the part that a lot of weekend athletes don't really think about or just sort of skip over, and there's a proper way to do it.
Yeah, right, definitely. So, if you are going for a run or if you are working around the house, after you're done, I usually like, especially if it's nice out, just like going for a little walk afterwards. It's a good way to, one, stay outside, enjoy the environment. And then also when you are walking around, when you're moving, you can kind of feel, okay, like that kind of tightened up on me. And then you can kind of use that to diagnose what you're trying to maybe stretch out afterwards and keep loose too.
Now let's talk about specifically men, because we have this bad habit, we go from exercising never, and then when we decide, I have to get in shape, it's let's go run 12 miles now. So how do we ease into it and listen to our body when it's telling us, all right, you're trying to do too much here?
Right. That's a really good question. I'm definitely guilty of that as well. I try to remind myself and remind the students that I work with that, your fitness is a journey. It's not really like just trying to get to this benchmark and then you've succeeded, right? Like we're thinking about like the long-term run. So So if you know, you have a goal weight in mind, then, you know, that's great. Goals help us achieve things and stick to our programs. But again, trying to section things off. So if I'm trying to get down 10 pounds, instead of focusing on that, you know, that number, I'm trying to think of, okay, it's going to be 2 pounds by, you know, these 2 weeks, maybe. That usually makes it a little bit more manageable on our physical system, but also like mentally too. It keeps us from being, you know, if we don't see those numbers coming right away, it makes it a little bit more manageable that way as well.
So let's talk about Finger Lakes Health provides athletic training services for Geneva High, Miners Academy, Penn Yan, and now Dundee Bradford.
Correct.
Now, you work with Penn Yan?
I'm at Miners.
You're
Academy.
At Miners. Okay. So right. Do you start, do you get a baseline kind of reading on all your athletes at the start of a season to give you something to work from?
That's a really good question. It's also something that we've started into some of our summer programs. Like, obviously, school isn't in session, so we still try to offer some community services. In the past, we've done free injury risk screenings. So with the students who do elect to come to those, we do have a baseline of certain, you know, functional standardized testing. But other than that, unless I've worked with a student before, unfortunately, hopefully they're healthy now, then usually I'm just kind of going off of typically what we do for, you know, so say like I hurt my knee, right? Their baseline, I'm going to be kind of comparing their strength and the range of motion to their other side. So when we get into like clearance testing and stuff like that, that's usually what we'll base it off of, because we should be somewhat symmetrical side to side.
I always think, too, one of the important, we just always try to emphasize this, our athletic trainers they're not just there for the games. And
right.
I think when you talk about this baseline assessment, what people don't recognize is, of course, the game's the visible moment, and that's when the parents in the crowd, and that's when, you know, we think of it. But it's having our team there, our athletic training team, there on site for practices. So when you talk about getting a baseline, this is really getting to know those student athletes, getting to know their strengths, getting to know what we were just talking about. What are the individual goals? Is that individual athlete working on? And also things like sort of what are the challenges? And I think we underestimate how much of the other conversations happen and how much of the other support that happens. So once that relationship gets developed with that athletic trainer, that student has an extra mentor, an extra person that they're talking with about the things. We all know that, you know, going out and running or going out for that great lacrosse goal is not the only thing that can make our muscles tense up, right? It's the daily stress. It's what's going on at home. It's the student. All of those pieces come together really to create, I think, that athlete. And when you think about the relationship that gets developed sort of on and off the fields and, on and off courts and all of those places, I think we underestimate that it's not just what we see when we see. And we've talked a lot, obviously, about the role the trainers played in the football injury this season because it was so visible. But it's some of that, I guess I would call it the quiet, important work that goes on that helps assess a baseline.
Yeah,
I don't know if
the scenes.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to put words in your mouth,
no,
but I think those are so important, those moments.
Yeah, I agree.
Let me ask you this, because I, how did you get into this business? I know I've talked to a lot of people in your line of work, and many of them got in because they had a major injury that they rehabbed. And is that your case?
Yes and no. When I was a junior in high school, I think one of my teammates I played soccer. That was kind of my sport. One of my teammates went down with a calf cramp. Which, if anyone has had a muscle cramp anywhere, they know that it feels like your leg's about to fall off.
Yeah.
But usually, with a little bit of stretching, it releases pretty quickly. So he went down, you know, thought his leg there was an alien coming out of it or whatever. I run over and had no training at all. I was in high school, right? So didn't see if there's a fracture or anything.
Right.
But all right, we'll just stretch it out. Luckily, it was just a cramp, and the relief that came over his face, I was like, I want to be able to do that. I know there's more things than, you know, cramps that happen. So how can I go to school and work and help people like that and kind of stay around sports?
Are you finding that high school athletes are more aware of conditioning and strength training and nutrition and all those kinds of things? I get the impression that sort of what we've seen at the professional level and the college level has really trickled down now to the high school level. I don't think there was any real such thing as professional sports training until fairly recently. Am I right?
Yeah, it's definitely an emerging industry. There's still a lot of high schools in the area that don't have anyone, at least full-time, which, you know, we're trying to improve, because not only for the orthopedic injuries, but we're also involved, like Laura was saying, with the DeMar Hamlin incident, with emergency action planning for all of our athletic venues that hopefully we never have to use. But I definitely do think there's been a lot more advocacy through professional athletics, talking about conditioning and nutrition, and a lot of mental health awareness too. But on the conditioning side, even, you know, kind of what we were just talking about, even though we know it's good to exercise, it's not always like the easiest thing to do.
I always like to ask this question of people in your field, and that is the psychological part of coming back from an injury. How do you get an athlete to trust that knee that they blew out, that it's ready now, you can put your full force on it, you can cut, you can stop hard, because there's always that sort of reluctance, and that can lead to re-injury. You can't baby it. When it's time, you have to go full bore.
Yep, absolutely. So that the part one of that goes back to not stomping on the gas immediately, right? So a lot of the end stage rehab we're doing is working into cutting and jumping and running and sprinting. And then the other side is talking about that that standardized testing where we're comparing limb to limb. So that's one of the favorite parts of my job, where it's not just, some of it is patient feedback where it feels good, cool, you know, I feel comfortable on it. But a lot of it is objective measures. So like, okay, on your left leg, you were able to jump this far, you know, 50 inches or whatever. On your right leg that you had surgery on, or that we had to take months out of the year to rehab, you jumped 51. So at this point, we're actually a little bit stronger, you know, and to see every time there's like a light up in the eyes of, okay, like that, you know, that's not just subjective, I feel good, maybe, it's that, you know, I am as strong on this side, at least in this test, and there's a battery of tests that we go through as well.
We're seeing more and more specialization among high school athletes. If somebody's a great lacrosse player, the coach says, you know, don't play football in the fall, you'll get hurt, specialize in lacrosse. Is it better from an injury prevention standpoint to play more sports with more different kinds of muscle movement than to focus on one where you move in a specific kind of way?
Also a good question. Very long, multifaceted answer. To put it briefly, there are a couple sports where sports specialization is necessary at a young age. One of those being figure skating, one of those being gymnastics. That's just from such a specific movement and strength with like the muscle groups that they are training. This was something that I actually studied when I was getting out of college, and because it's a really interesting question, and a lot of parents have this question too. What I found is, so the risks are overuse injuries. If you just play one sport, if I'm just running, I'm using just a few muscle groups, right?
Right.
If I'm going from lacrosse to maybe basketball, well, in lacrosse, I'm not jumping up into the air. So when I'm playing basketball, I'm training some different muscle groups, which will help stabilize me when I'm playing lacrosse, right? So but specialization is a thing, and, you know, typically someone's not going to go to college to play multiple sports. So what I usually say is, usually around the age of 15 or 16, so sophomore, junior year, that's when you can start to think about that. But just playing one sport throughout the year before that, I see it as more of a detrimental impact, and you know, the other part of it being like the psychological side is when you focus too much on one thing when you're so young that you might not have, you know, the capabilities to get over pitfalls and mistakes that you might make. If this thing is the most important thing and there's no other outlet, then you can see a lot of burnout and kids developing kind of a bad relationship with sports too, which is definitely not what anyone wants.
All right, Andrew Print, thanks for what you do. We appreciate it. Some good information there.
Thank you, Ted.
And I know that the schools really appreciate the services they get from the Avera's Finger Lakes Health Trainers. So thanks for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Laura, thank you as always.
Great to see you, Ted.
All right, you too. We'll get healthy some more in about 2 weeks. It's 8:53 on FLX Mornings.